Can you hear me, Lewis? You're fourth on the grid. You've got this.
And it's lights out. Away we go.
Put yourself in the driving seat with the dedicated Sky Sports F1 channel for £18 a month. Watch every practice, qualifying and race live. Now with free HD. So if you love F1, only pay for F1 for £18 a month. Search Sky Sports F1.
Requires Sky TV subscription. Free HD for 18 months with Sky Sports. Thereafter HD £6 per month. Offer ends 28th of June. Further terms apply.
The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring. Talking about the world of professional wrestling. The team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga. The Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast. You're listening to us on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, my tag team partner, Brian Berga. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/highspotpodcast, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast. And you can check out all our crazy antics on highspotpodcast.com, our brand spanking new website. We've got our guest today, actor, fitness model, Sid O'Connell. Got an interesting story about how we met, and Fastlane is in the books, trendsetter. How you doing today on this snowy, just ugly day here in the Northeast with more snow to come this week? I am just about done with winter. Let spring come soon.
Yeah, I'm done with winter, and I'm almost physically done as well. I am spent. I'm over the hill right now. A little bit under the weather.
You're
but
over the hill?
Better.
Yeah.
You're aging physically. You can tell I'm aging. I'm getting grays in my beard. I'm getting grays in my hair. You even said it when you saw me before we did the show. You're like, Brian, you look terrible. Like, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Why don't you take a look in the mirror as well?
I said, I
look the way you felt.
Exactly.
You
and I came home run down. Just a long day. But we're trying to put on a great show for you guys today. Sid O'Connell is with us. But let's talk about a lot of stuff here in the world of professional wrestling. We've got, for example, Fastlane. I thought it was a pretty good show. The only surprise was Randy Orton became the new U.S. champion. AJ Styles successfully defended the title in a great six-pack challenge. So I think it was a good show.
Were you pleasantly surprised after the show? Because this wasn't something that when you and I broke it down, we were looking forward to.
Let's just say that... It's something that I watched, and yes, I was pleasantly surprised. And now we can just put the door, we can close the door and head to WrestleMania, man, because we're just four short weeks away, and things are starting to develop. But what happened on Monday Night Raw is two of the most important people, as we head into WrestleMania, didn't show.
John Cena?
Well, no, John Cena shows up wherever he wants.
The Rock?
Show up wherever he feels like he wants to show up, so... Now, Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar, again, Brock Lesnar no shows. It's part of the storyline. It's part of the script to make him heel. Ronda Rousey supposedly was going to be at every Raw leading up to WrestleMania, and we get neither.
Supposedly.
Your thought, what do you mean supposedly?
Well, supposedly she was supposed to be over there. They weren't guaranteeing she was going to be in every show.
Well, that's what they said, and then they removed an article that mentioned that she was going to be at every Raw heading into WrestleMania, so that changed plan. So plans changed, and your thoughts on no showing and false advertising to get a
person over, get a storyline over. As far as Brock Lesnar, your thoughts?
As far as Brock Lesnar, we know it's part of the storyline. Like you mentioned, they're doing this most likely to make him the heel in this rivalry and have everybody rally behind Roman Reigns. I don't know if that's going to work 100% because even though, you know, Roman Reigns did a really good promo a couple weeks ago and you really saw his, you know, authenticity, really felt real, I don't think it's going to work. I mean, there are clearly fans cheering him more than before, but I just think if as much as you're trying to make Brock Lesnar paint him out to be the bad guy, people are just so enamored with him and love him regardless of how he acts and treats people. Just because he's that huge attraction, they're not going to be booing him that much. They're going to actually root, especially when you go to WrestleMania and you have those die hardcore fans out there. They're going to be rooting for Brock Lesnar to kick Roman Reigns' ass. It's just as simple as that. Best of luck. It's working. As for Ronda Rousey, I mean, their trainer kind of similar to Brock Lesnar. They feel that her popularity for the general audience is enough, like maybe like a Floyd Mayweather when he was doing WrestleMania. He didn't do a lot of appearances. They don't need to have her on every single time, which is probably beneficial because remember we spoke about Asuka, not to sidetrack, but like sometimes less is more. You don't need to see Ronda Rousey every single day or every single Raw to be intrigued in this storyline with Triple H, Stephanie, Ronda, and Kurt Angle. So I think ultimately for the fans out there, feel bad for them. They wasted their money to see this, but if that's the only thing you're waiting to see, it's not the first time WWE's done this before, and it definitely won't be the last time.
Yeah, but you got Snickers at the end of the show, so that kind of, you know, you have to home with a smile. If
little mini ones. They're in full size.
Can I get a freaking whole Snickers bar, man, right?
Yeah, give me a full size one. Give me those cheap, small little ones that you and I, sometimes when we go to those special events or, like, we finish the fan experiences.
Like those samples ones when they come out with a new product.
Yeah, people take, like, 30 with them.
Guys, and before we carry on, we just want to make sure to check us out on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating because, you know what? God damn it, we deserve a 5-star rating. Leave a review. It only takes a few seconds.
God damn it.
You can also check us out on TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, SoundCloud, as well as also the Shining Wizards Network and also B Plus Player Radio. Yeah, that too. And also, too, make sure you check out the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel. It's up and running. We got exclusive interviews with such stars as Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions LAX, Alberto El Patron, Bullet Club members Marty Scurll and Adam Hangman Page, as well as the Ring of Honor franchise Jay Lethal. Plus, you can catch videos of High Spot Podcast miniseries Adventures of the Trendsetter, who's got, I'm telling you, man, you're carrying this YouTube channel with your interviews at AVN to who you got this week.
Well, this week we have Alexis Texas and
Stars at Night are big and bright.
We're talking about Alexis Texas, Jeff. And also Brooklyn Chase, really excited. Had an opportunity to speak with them last year in Jersey. Didn't have the opportunity. Didn't have the intestinal fortitude to do it. I was nervous, guys. I was scared. I admit it. But then this time I saw them there. Didn't want to make that same mistake twice. And just great. Great conversation with Alexis. Gave us a few minutes of her time. And Brooklyn Chase, it's amazing. Both are stunning, Jeff. But the lighting, when you guys look at the video, the lighting does not do justice standing next to Brooklyn Chase. She is gorgeous. She is beautiful. And a big sports fan as well. So can't wait to next time dive into that a little bit further. But it's great to talk to them and kind of get an idea of what they're like outside of the adult film industry.
Yeah, and also you can check out our interview with Sarah Connell, who not only do we have the audio here today, also you can check out on YouTube channel. We were at actually the gym we work out with, and Sid was kind enough to give us the time there.
If you want to know where the Jersey Wrecking Crew is built, they're built at Powerhouse Gym in South Hackensack, Joe.
Definitely, man, in New Jersey. And he was so kind to give us that time. So the video's up. If you guys want to see that interview, just go again to our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast. But going back now, so Ronda Rousey was not there, although, again, they pushed her that she was going to be there every Raw heading up to WrestleMania. They took the article down. So kind of like a mix-up there, but she should be back next week. Brock Lesnar, now Vince McMahon guarantees, he didn't say guarantee it, but he said that Brock Lesnar will be back. Now, does he cross the boss one more week? It'll be interesting to see, but before we change the subject here, Roman Reigns, I think it was another good promo, but what kind of like surprised me was that he said that Brock was Vince's boy when we all know who Vince's boy is, and that's Roman Reigns himself. Oh, yeah. I thought it was another great promo. It sucks to me when I realize that, hey, I know it's WrestleMania season, but that first 8 minutes or so, I think it was pretty cool. And if WWE just did that every single time, that unpredictability that we love to see, I think every Monday Night Raw would be more watchable, and I think they should do it more often.
It would be more watchable. The only thing is you can't manufacture, although they've tried, you can't manufacture that type of feeling. And for them to do it on a week-to-week basis, it's probably easier to do it around WrestleMania season than to do it, you know, when you're setting up Backlash or you're setting up, you know, Money in the Bank. It's a little bit more difficult to do that because it's not as personal. The rivalries aren't as you're not as invested as you would be in something like this. But something I find funny, Jeff, is that he's like, Roman Reigns goes on the microphone, and again, I think he did a really good promo, and then going in the back, that was a nice little touch in terms of us going in the back as the audience, because they
except Shane was there, and he's like protecting his dad.
When yeah, SmackDown was, you know, you're supposed to be at SmackDown, man. You're not supposed to be traveling with Raw, he's protecting his father, which is kind of weird, too. But, you know, I understand that he's trying to make it personal, but the real thing is, and we all talk about Jeff, cheap heat, right? You don't want your battle to be with Vince McMahon. You want it to be with Brock Lesnar, and the mere fact when he said, you know, I could be disrespected by Brock Lesnar, but I will not be disrespected by Vince McMahon. Well, he's your boss. If he wants to disrespect you, he's going to disrespect you, and you better take it because it was like, what, a couple weeks ago where he said, I'm going to take my ass chewing like a man. That ass chewing is very disrespectful if you're being yelled at and berated by your boss, and now you're not going to be disrespected. So kind of mixed messages there. I don't know what was really going on. I mean, remember, your battle's not with Vince McMahon. Your battle is with Brock Lesnar. And because of what he did...
Well, I guess because Vince lets Brock be Brock and, you know, lets him have
but what's
have
Roman really
going
to do? He's going to stand up face-to-face and shove him like, oh, you're going to talk to me now? That's your boss. He's entitled to do what he wants. He doesn't have to answer to you, Roman, and you're picking a fight with the wrong guy. And for that, he got suspended.
Yeah, temporarily suspended in air quotes, as I'm saying right now. So we'll see what happens next week. Now, Vince says that he'll be there, but again, will they dare to false advertise one more time in sake for this storyline as we head into Mania? Like I said,
I don't think so. I think Brock will be there, but Roman won't.
I could say, ooh, that could be pretty good. I like and that. So, like, Roman doesn't show up this time.
The interaction between the two is something that you anticipate you're looking forward to.
Yeah, looking forward to next week and what happens there. Now we head to this other topic that I want to talk about, and that's Jeff Hardy. Now, I'm kind of like...
Brother Nero?
Yeah, Brother Nero. Kind of saddened to hear about the whole, you know, arrested for being under the influence, impaired. The good part is that his shoulder's fine and he's been cleared. But now this kind of puts a hindrance because supposedly he had done filming for one of the final Lesion matches that he was going to have with Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. But now that's in danger. WWE saying that Jeff Hardy is responsible for his own actions. And you just right now in question what happens to Jeff Hardy now that this situation's happened. Unfortunate situation. Luckily, nobody was hurt. You know, and, you know, his car got totaled. But, you know, just what do you do now with Jeff Hardy? What do you think the future is? Do you think he's in limbo right now? Just what does the future hold for Jeff Hardy?
I think he's in limbo right now. I wouldn't be surprised down the road if, you know, this thing doesn't pan out in terms of working themselves out. He could be released. And the reason why I go that far is that, listen, I'm not a heartless guy, Jeff. I understand the seriousness of, you know, substance abuse or addiction or dealing with your demons or not being able to overcome those types of things. But WWE is completely right, Jeff. Jeff Hardy is responsible for his own actions. And he knew coming back with Matt Hardy that this was most likely going to be his last run, especially him and Matt, in WWE. He said several times in other interviews prior to coming back at WrestleMania that he wanted to end his career with WWE. This is kind of the tail end of his career. I don't know how much longer he can keep doing this and this punishment to his body. But that being said, he is responsible. I don't see it ending up to the point where his shoulder is, like you said, 100%. They're trying to figure out when to bring him in. This puts a kibosh on all that. And I wouldn't be surprised if down the road, if things don't work themselves out very well, he could be released. Because right now you see Matt Hardy going his own direction. He doesn't really need Jeff in that scenario, in that light. So
again, first and foremost, though, we do care about Jeff Hardy as the individual first and foremost. So hopefully he gets everything situated and worked out. But Rebby Hardy actually kind of lashed out on Twitter at Jeff Hardy, basically saying how they worked so long with legal fees and everything to get the, you know, to get the whole Hardy brand, to get all that back. And then they introduced Senior Benjamin, they introduced her into the fold. And they actually, like I said, shot stuff with Brother Nero involved in this whole Bray Wyatt angle. And now she's kind of saying that we're not going to let Matt Hardy F it up. So
Jeff Hardy F it up.
We're not going to let Jeff Hardy F it up. So that's kind of, to me, a sign that, hey, listen, you know, you know, this was unexpected, and we're not going to let your past demons interfere with what we're going to do, what we're trying to do in the WWE, because it's
well,
always...
Well, Rebby's been known not to hold back on what she feels.
Yeah.
So it's pure frustration. And why wouldn't you be frustrated? Like you said, they worked so hard to get to this point, and then something like that happens. So it's really easy to say, ah, you screwed it up, you effed it up, you're causing trouble now, I'm sick and tired of it. But at the end of the day, like I said, I'm not trying to be heartless, but it's true. Jeff is responsible for his own actions, and if this is the end result, it's not going to stop Rebby, it's not going to stop Matt Hardy from doing this whole deletion thing. So it's just, it's sad, it's unfortunate, and this is the type of scenario, Jeff, at this stage in our lives watching professional wrestling and enjoying it the way we are, sometimes you just shake your head and like, guys, come on, common sense here. But again, it's easy for us to say it because we're not the people and the individuals going through
it. Exactly. And then who would have thought that Fabulous Moolah would be creating such controversy?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they announced the Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal. I don't get why they say memorial. It just F's it up when we try to say it really fast, you know?
Yeah.
The Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, there's a tribute to Fabulous Moolah. I remember when they had the Mae Young Classic, I told you. Why don't they call it the Fabulous Moolah Classic, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, doing research and going on social media and finding out why everyone has such a problem with Fabulous Moolah. And if you take a look at articles written out, then they're getting so many hits because this is something, with especially with the Me Too movement that's coming out.
Yeah.
Fabulous Moolah was not such a kind human being, especially to the women that she taught. A lot of people lashing out now saying that she didn't really contribute to anything because she actually pimped out most of her students.
Yeah,
and
you told me.
Yeah, and I'm reading, I'm like, really? And then you realize that a lot of people say she contributed nothing to the business because she did what she did to a bunch of these women. And a bunch of these women are, you know, coming forward and saying this is what Fabulous Moolah did. So now when you take a look at, you know, everyone has an opinion now. Everyone wants to, you know, make change. And yes, in WWE, people do want things to be changed, especially this name for this Battle Royal. Just your thoughts. I mean, will WWE succumb to pressure and, you know, change this? Or are they going to go full steam ahead with the Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal?
Well, the way it's going right now, it's going to be full steam ahead with calling it the Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal. If pressure gets that hot, we've seen it before in the past, Jeff, where things get changed. But I think they're just promoting so much from this standpoint, it's going to be really hard. I mean, you're going to have protests and huge, huge negativity, not just on social media, but everywhere, especially in the audience, where this gets caught on TV and looks bad from a, you know, promotional standpoint, where the name's going to change. I don't think it's going to happen. You're obviously going to see a lot of disagreement, a lot of hate towards it, of wanting it to change. You know, in the world we live in nowadays, Jeff, everything needs to be, you know, politically correct. Everybody doesn't want to deal with those types of issues. But I don't think it's going to change. It's going to stay the way it is. I think they're committed to it. And as far as the Fabulous Moolah goes, I didn't know anything about that stuff until you told me about it. I knew there was an uproar that the people were upset about it.
I heard rumblings of stuff, but when you did your research,
but
you're
did your
like,
research
wow,
and like, you told me about it, like, really?
Vitch was a pimp player.
She was a pimp. Unbelievable. But yeah, I can see why people hate it right now, because again, it is a celebration of women. Since, you know, we saw the first ever women's Royal Rumble, we saw women's Elimination Chamber, women's Money in the Bank, all these firsts, right? And now you're gonna have the first ever Fabulous Moolah Memorial Battle Royal, similar to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, now for the women, which is great. And, you know, with all due respect to Andre the Giant, right? And I'm not going to say it all due respect to Fabulous Moolah, because I'm sure a lot of people will be pissed off if I say that. But a lot of that stuff, honestly, I always thought that the reason why you did that was two things. You didn't have anything else to do for these other guys that want to be part of the card.
You got
to
get everybody on the card now.
And also, it was supposed to be whoever won that should be the next guy who was going to be similar, like when you won the King of the Ring, for example, or you won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
you were
that
next
guy.
That
all went down the crapper when
Mojo
won.
Or Money in the Bank.
That all went down the crapper when Mojo won the title, when Mojo won it last year.
No, all went down the crapper when Cesaro won it and they did absolutely nothing with him. And then it was Baron Corbin, and then obviously Mojo, and it just, you know, winning that means absolutely nothing. It's just another excuse for the males, and in this case now with the Moolah Battle Royal, an excuse for all the other women on the roster who have no storylines going into WrestleMania just to be on the card so they can say, hey, I was part of WrestleMania. That's what it means to me.
Yeah, man. And so we'll find out if anything changes. But right now, it's full steam ahead with the Fabulous Moolah.
It'll be interesting, too, if people are really upset with this. They did a trophy, and it's a trophy of the Fabulous Moolah, similar to Andre the Giant. If people really hate this, that thing is going to be vandalized. They better protect that thing, because if they put that at Access in New Orleans and people see it,
yeah,
people are going to want to tip that thing over and destroy it if they really hate it as much as they say they do.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Like reading, going, huh? Scratching my head, going, really? Like, Man, I'm telling you.
It's called the Linda McMahon.
The Linda McMahon Memorial Battle Royal? Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
Sensational Jinx. Sherry.
I would love to do that. Pay tribute to Sensational Sherry. The Sensational Sherry Memorial Battle Royal. I would have no problem trying to say that as many times during one episode of the show.
The Scary Sherry Battle Royal, as I would call it. But she's contributed a lot to the business as well. So, yeah, I mean, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, you know, despite how people feel about the Fabulous Moolah, Jeff, to me, it's just a placeholder. It's a space filler, really.
So I was going on Twitter today, checking stuff.
You're on the Twitter?
On the show. It's on the Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter, High Spot Podcast.
I'm trying to take a break from Twitter, man. I find myself constantly on it, and I got to take a break.
I got to retweet and deal with social media, man. Oh, so I'm on this whole thing. I have it
open
at my job. We do need an intern. Tony.
Tony.
Hey, Tony. He'll be our intern, and we're talking about the future of the High Spot Podcast.
Yes.
The Wrecking Crew, Tony, he was back at Russell Pro this week, finally.
Yeah, he messaged me. He said he finally got back. He said, good, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy those bumps, because he took a little break.
All right, so I'm on the Twitter, and I'm checking us on High Spot Podcast, and then I'm finding this South Park meme about like a sound a giraffe makes or something, and all of a sudden you see them cut away to Shane McMahon going, what the heck happened on SmackDown? You were telling me about this that happened on SmackDown where Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens got to beat up their boss. Oh, who wouldn't love to beat up their boss? But just
we haven't seen that before ever.
I know. It's all about beating up
it's
the
all
bosses.
Original.
What's your take on Shane's major announcement and him getting destroyed by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens?
Well, I wouldn't go far to say it was a major announcement. I think kind of the way the whole storyline's been building up with Shane.
I would say Kevin Owens taking a hiatus is
Sami Zayn
is a major story.
Yeah, but hiatus, he says that now we're less than 4 weeks away from WrestleMania. That can change very abruptly. Maybe a triple threat match, who knows? But it's funny we haven't heard anything from Daniel Bryan. I have not seen him anywhere. But basically, he's going to take a leave of absence. He had a big announcement, which is going to be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who are at a crossroads. They're best friends, and yet they're fighting each other a lot, so that they can't find common ground. They're going to face each other at WrestleMania. They don't like it, and then once he leaves, they attack Shane McMahon. They drag him to the back. Nobody in the back is willing to help Shane McMahon for some reason.
Gee, I wonder why. Land of opportunity.
Nor
my
Daniel
ass.
Bryan, exactly. And then towards the end, they basically powerbomb him into a whole set of group of ladders, or just a ladder in general, a really big one, and hits him at the edge of his back. Looked kind of painful, and he just screeches out this noise. They like
kind of me when I wake up on Mondays. Oh God, no, I don't want to go to work.
Yeah, but even worse than that, Jeff, it's just this noise that, like, if you ever hit your funny bone or something like that, maybe you're like, this noise comes out of you. So I have no idea. And Jeff's giving me the wind up now. So
because Sid wants to come on, damn it.
Okay, you asked me the question, and I told you what happened.
Right, so just your thoughts on this whole angle. Do you see like a triple threat match? Do you see something?
I just said that it could build itself up to a triple threat match, but ultimately it's more of kind of exiting Shane out of the picture. He can come back in less than 4 weeks for Mania, and that's it. You know, where Daniel Bryan fits in all this, we'll find out as the weeks come by, but it's got to be something. Ultimately, we have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens facing each other. The payoff, I have no idea what it's going to be. What do you feel about it, Jeff?
Well, I think Daniel Bryan will be back next week, and I think it's going to lead to a match, whether it's a 2-on-1 handicap match against Shane McMahon. But like you said, we'll find out in the upcoming weeks. But Daniel Bryan returns. And I'm sorry, Trendsetter, because honestly, though, Big Sid, he's a big dude, and if he doesn't get his airtime,
well,
he's going to
come after. Well, you might be intimidated by him, but I'm not,
us.
Jeff.
So we're going to get Sid here momentarily, but remember, it's a new year, and that means you got to get new gear. Collar and Elbow is a brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking flex-fit caps. It's great-looking men's and women's shirts. To check out the entire spring fashion line, you got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Get your 10% off on the entire spring line fashion for 2018, Collar and Elbow. And they sponsor this week's interview with Sid O'Connell. Actor, fitness models, got great things coming up in 2018, some surprises we can't talk about yet, but he will come back on the show and talk about that.
Yep.
But hey, man, we met at the gym, and we're like, man, that guy's got it, man. He kind of looks like, you know, like he's important. So getting to know him, he's a great dude, and we wish nothing but the best, and big things are ahead for Big Sid O'Connell, and he is the guest on the High Spot Podcast right now. All right, nothing like a workout and a podcast interview here from Powerhouse Gym in South Hackensack. We're here with actor, model Sid O'Connell. Sid, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? What's up?
Really good, man. A long time coming here to do this podcast, and we want to thank you for your time.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
So, what do you, growing up now, where were you, where did you originally grow up at?
Well, I was born in Manhattan, and then back in 1981, my mom moved us up to Monticello, New York, and where I lived till, went to school, finished high school, graduated in 87. Then had a friend of mine who lived in Union City. I used to come up during the summer times because dad owned a bungalow colony up there. So he was like, dude, you know, you should come down. There's nothing up here for you. Like, if you've ever been upstate New York, when the summer's over, it becomes a ghost town. So he was, you know, he said, come down, you know, move down to Jersey. And, you know, I was right out of high school. I was like, I was bored. I needed a change of scenery and everything. Packed my bags and I left. And I moved to Union City at 18. And I've pretty much been in Jersey, you know, my whole life. And so, yeah.
So you're more Jersey now. You consider yourself more Jersey.
I consider myself more of a New Jersey. Yeah, I'm a Jersey boy.
Yeah. So, you know, talk about like, all right, well, so obviously, you know, take a look at this guy's physique.
I didn't start working out, literally, dude, till I was 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just, I had no interest really in it, you know, until I was 25. And that's because I moved to Pittsburgh. I lived in Pittsburgh for 3 years. Something happened in New York where I had to, like, pack my bags and bounce. So I needed a new destination. So I moved to Pittsburgh. I was bartending out there part-time. Met a couple of people who were independent wrestlers. And, you know, and at that time, I was still tall but skinny. And they're like, oh, man, you should give it a try. I know the school. We'll go. So, yeah, I went along. And I did it for 3 years. Probably one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. Traveled all over, like, Kentucky, Tennessee, Toledo, Ohio, you know, here to Jersey. And then I moved back to Jersey in 98. Then I got into a car accident. Messed up my back, my knees, my neck, and my wrestling career was pretty much done. Yeah, and then things like 9 months later, I met a friend of mine up here. I met a guy here who trained up in Parsippany with Snuka, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. He was like, oh, I'm going to talk to him one day. And he was like, oh, I should bring you up there and you should check him, you know, go see him and talk to him. So I went up and Snuka looked at me. He's like, oh. He's like, yeah, I'll train with him for 6 months. But every time I hit the mat, dude, I saw stars because my neck was still messed up. So I just said, you know what, that's it, dude. And then I ended up getting married at 30. I had my son, Jaden. And, you know, reality kicked in. And I said, oh, well, got to get a real job.
So now, had you not gotten into a car accident, do you think you would have continued your wrestling career?
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, without a doubt. And I probably would have made it far. You know, I was young, you know, 30 years old, you know, my late 20s. Yeah, I probably would have, you know, who knows? Who knows what the possibilities would have been? I would have pushed myself hard enough to make it because the truth is, I had a tryout with ECW before they shut down. And I did a house show, one match. And they loved me. And then they went belly under. So, you know, what could have happened? I have no clue. But I believe everything happens for a reason. So, that didn't work out for me. I moved on from that. I got into the Carpenters Union. You know, I've been doing that for 17 years. And, you know, 6 years ago, you know, I got into acting. And it's probably the best decision I've ever made in my life. And at first, you know, the first 2 years, it was kind of like a little hobby of mine. You know, because I was only doing, like, you know, background work for, like, the first 3 months when I started. I ended up doing a commercial with that that sign, that Gangnam dude, that Gangnam style guy. Yeah, whatever. But it was a big commercial. It was like for overseas. It was like I was featured to, you know, right next to him, and then I met a girl on set, and she was like, "Oh my God, you know, do you have an agent?" And I was like, no, I just started doing this, you know, like 3 months ago. She's like, oh, my God, like, you're built like a superhero. So she's like, she goes, let me, you know, send me your information, like your headshots, you know, whatever. And she goes, I'll send it to my agent. So I'm like, all right. So I sent it the next day. And this was probably right around the time Sandy hit us. Okay. So I sent her over the information. I think it was like a week later. This agency reached back to me, and they said, you know, he said, oh, man, you know, we love your look. We would love for you to come in. You know, we want to meet. And then when Sandy hit, yeah, everything was kind of put off for like a couple months. Yeah. And then when everything kind of cleared up, you know, they called me back and he goes, come in. So I went in, we talked for an hour, I signed, and it was good. I mean, you know, it was great to have an agent, but when you're built like this and their agency was built, their agency really just only handles guys that are all built like me. So unless you're going out a lot, you're going to get pushed aside. You know, they're going to push the guys who are going more out, you know, and it's the business. I get it. You know, I had to learn that the hard way. But I ended up doing a show, Mysteries of Laura, on NBC, and I had, there was a really great part, and it was probably like one of the ones that really kind of should have put me a little up further, but they dropped the ball on me. Because once that show came out, I didn't have an audition for 6 months. Yeah, I mean, nothing. And, you know, when I finally got an audition from them, it was like to do background in a music video, and that was kind of my turning point, saying, you know what, I just need new representation. I need a new focus on where I want my career to go. And ever since signing with my new manager, everything has changed. Like, it's, you know, it's, everything has gotten so much for the better, you know. And this year, you know, I came in with a boom. For whatever, I mean, it seemed like, you know, two shows on Amazon Prime. You know, I have a movie coming out in April.
Well, you can mention the shows. Mention the shows.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, so I have one show that I'm a part of. It's called Millenniums. It's on Amazon Prime. I'm in episode 4, but you have to watch the whole season. I mean, 6 episodes. It's actually a comedy. It's a great show. And then a buddy of mine, my buddy Gerard, him and I, we worked on he wrote the short called The War Within. It's about a soldier suffering from PTSD. And that actually picked up, Amazon Prime picked that up, and I play a psychologist in that. So what I'm trying to do, and they're both on Amazon Prime, so it's The War Within, and the TV show's Millenniums. But, you know, what I'm trying to do now is that I want to do, see, in the past, you know, because of the way I'm built and, like, the way I look, you know, you know,
stereotyped in a way.
Exactly. So they look at you and go, oh, you know, he's just big enough to stand in a corner, you know, you always die in a film or something. Nah, I'm talented. And I'm not saying I'm talented to pat myself on the back. I busted my ass for 6 years.
You got range. You got
and surprisingly, you know, I did a short film about 2 years ago. It's called The Weary Traveler. And I play Frankenstein's monster. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Oh, no, we did our homework on
it. Oh, you did your homework? So, and, dude, like, when I did that film, up to that point, it was, like, everything I did was, like, the dialogue was so short. It wasn't really...
Two or three
lines here and there. But when I did this Weary Traveler, like, I literally had to, dude, change my voice. And if you watched it, dude, there's so much dialogue and so much emotion that went into this character. I literally, you know, I busted my ass on it for 2 days. And, you know, we shot it in California, and the weather was like 114 degrees. And in that cave where we filmed it, it was maybe 100 degrees. So, you know, picture this, you know, I'm in all this makeup, a wig, you know, the costume, and it was good, man. And so when people finally saw it, everybody was kind of astonished. And they're like, dude, I didn't know you were that good.
Everybody was astonished except yourself, basically.
No, well, I mean...
Because you knew you could do it. Or you wanted the opportunity.
You know what it was?
To do it.
I knew I could do something better than what I was doing before. Yeah. And I just needed the opportunity. And my friend gave me that opportunity, you know, to really project what I'm able to do as an actor. And it worked out great. And, you know, to this day, I mean, that film is probably my proudest work I've done, you know, to date. Because I literally really worked really hard on that, you know?
So when you, for example, take the decision to go into acting, yeah, and then you put the wrestling career, you know, behind you, what did you feel you had, like, what did you do? Or were there steps before that you, like, listen, I have to go to classes?
The truth is, man, I've never taken a class since the day I started. Now, eventually, down the road, you know, yeah, I would love to. I'm going to. But I'm a natural actor. For whatever reason, it just comes natural to me. I don't, you know, like, I think I've dealt with enough pain in my life in general where it's easy for me to reach those emotions when you have to put them on camera. But also at the same time, if you have a shitty director, no matter how good you are, it's not going to work. Because, you know, sometimes you need that person to pull out something from you, you know, and you work well together. And fortunately, over the last two years, I've worked with some really great directors who know how to direct, and not just direct a scene, but direct an actor. Say, listen, you know, all right, that's great the way you're giving it to me, but let's try it this way. And if you just listen and pay attention, you know, it comes out. You know, you just have to bring that out in yourself. And that's something I've been able to do better because, and I think it is, a reason is that I've had so many great auditions over the last 2 years. Didn't get a lot of them, but it's a learning experience, and that's how you get better. You know, if you just keep practicing. You know, with my schedule, you know, with work, you know, construction and everything else going on, you know, the gym. You know, I want to take classes, but unfortunately, you know, I just, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I didn't have time, or in my head I didn't make time, but I've worked in other ways to make myself better as an actor. And I'm just, you know, it's a natural talent for me. It's a natural ability for me to be in front of the camera and just do what I do.
You're obviously outgoing. You obviously, you know, have that if factor.
Shh, can't tell nobody that.
I remember I remember us coming into the gym, and me and Brian were thinking, man, this guy's a wrestler. He's got to do something like that, or you just have that personality. It's very infectious and stuff like that.
Oh, thank you.
How do you, for example, when you go for a part, how do you handle like rejection? Because you're gonna get you're very positive. How does that get you? Does it discourage you, or do you just, all right, you know what? It's an experience, and I just go on to the next one.
You know what? When I first started, I didn't handle rejection very well. You know, I would, I would go into an audition, and, you know, I tanked a lot of them at first. You know, I would go in, and, you know, I'd be, like, just my nerves, my stomach would be shot, sweating. I feel like I'd go to the bathroom all the time, you know, like, and then, you know, you do the audition, and some of them were great. And a lot of them I tanked in the beginning. And then, you know, I would leave the office, and I'm like, oh, man, I hope I get this. And it would eat at me for days.
Yeah.
And then you didn't get it. But, you know, I mean, I've gotten how I got into SAG itself is that I did a global Budweiser commercial with Jay-Z, you know, 4 years ago. And that was great for me. It didn't do much, but yeah, the money was great. I got a lot of residual checks. That was good.
How was that getting to see Jay-Z that close and lots of people don't even get to, you know.
Let me just say this. I'm not one to, I really don't talk bad about people. And I, you know, it's not my thing. But he wasn't the most nicest person to work with. No. So we'll just leave it at that, you know. You know, it was a learning experience too. I mean, I had a great time. It was really probably one of my, like, first major productions to be on. You know, it was actually bigger than that one I did with the Korean guy, Psy. This production was a lot bigger. It was more, you know, it was on a broader, like a broader scale. You know, Budweiser, dude, you know? But, yeah, the experience was great. He wasn't too much of a nice person, so it is what it is. And we moved on from it. All right, what was it? Where else? I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah, see, because I kind of swerved you there. We talked about rejection, then we went to Jay-Z.
Oh, so the rejection thing. So, you know, so basically, like I said, the first couple years was rough for me. Because, you know, I was, you know, you would hope, you know, because, you know, oh, my God, I'm going to be an actor, or I'm doing this, and, you know, I'm going on auditions, and it didn't work out. So those first 2 years really, really bugged me, dude. I mean, it ate at me, and it just was like, oh, my God, dude, like, I can't believe it. And then, you know, you walk out sometimes, and you say to yourself, you know when you killed an audition, and you know when you shit on it. And I shit on a lot, but I also killed a lot. And those ones that you killed, you're like, you leave, and you're going, oh, man, I fucking killed it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get it. And then you didn't get it. So then it became such a hassle. But over the last, I'd say two and a half years, my mindset has changed. So what I've done is that when I go for an audition, you know, I just, I do it. And when I walk out that door, it's behind me. And I just say, I've said to myself, you know, over the last couple of years that if it's meant to be, it'll be. If it's not, something better will always come along. And as long as I keep working hard at everything I'm doing, eventually, things will fall into place. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't faze me anymore. I mean, listen, I've had a lot of great auditions for a lot of big shows, films. You know, I didn't get a lot of them. Why? Who knows? You know, it's not up to me. It's, you know, a casting director could love what you're doing and love your look and love your ability to act and your talent, you know, and they can send your stuff to, you know, executive producers, and they go, well, yeah, he has too many tattoos, or, you know, it's too big, or, you know, he's not the right look of what we're looking for, and they go a different way. But you can't take it personal because it's business. And once you learn the business, it doesn't become personal anymore. You don't take it personally. You just say to yourself, okay, that didn't work out. We'll wait for the next thing to come along. But this year, and as of last year, you know, I ended up being diagnosed with lung cancer in August. You know, I had a small tumor on my right lung, and it was very difficult for me to deal with. And I shut down. So during this time, I started my chemo, I think it was in September, and I put it off for like a month. And I was struggling with the whole thing, saying to myself, ah, that thing will just go away. You know, like most men, you're like, you get sick or whatever it
denial.
Is. Yeah, denial. And, you know, I've lost a lot of family. I lost my mom to cancer, so, you know, 14 years ago, it was rough. So when I found out, you know, you freak out, dude, because my son, you know, my girlfriend at the time, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, what if this takes my life, and then I leave everyone behind.
So, Sid, you kind of like on this high of like on the roller coaster, you're successful, and then all of a sudden you find out your mortality. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like wow, you go from one point to another point, right?
Yeah. Not to say that I ever thought I was immortal, you know, immortal, but yeah, it tests your mortality, man. It's going to test your strength, and you know, honestly, it took me months to get my head back to normal. But, you know, the funny thing is that when I got sick and I lost so much weight, because before I was sick, I was probably like 280 pounds. And during that course of time, I mean, I dropped down to like 220. I mean, I was like, not frail, but I was like just shredded. And then I ended up getting a part in a movie working with Danny Trejo. And it's called Bare Knuckle Brawler. It's a martial arts action film. Something I've been dying to do since I started. You know, because I'm just an action junkie, dude. Like growing up, man, I watched Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and Van Damme, and you know, and all these.
Well, you're in the right time now because there's like a resurgence now,
yeah, exactly.
In action
movies. Big guys, come on, look at me. You know, so I did this film, and I shot for 3 days straight, just fight scenes. And dude, exhausted, because dude, I think I was already in my second chemo treatment, and the first two were really like high doses, and they were strong. And you know, I put myself, when I'm on camera or like when I'm doing anything that, you know, acting wise, excuse me, I give it 110%. Like there's no half-assing with me. I'm focused. I go in there. I'll do the work. So 3 days straight of filming fight scenes in a fucking closed like building, no ventilation, it's smoky, man, it's just people everywhere. Yeah, I pushed through. I mean, it was like the first day I was so dehydrated, dude. I was like cramping up like the fifth hour. You know, these guys, they had to have put water on me and give me water.
IVs and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it was great experience. But I can tell you this, man. This movie gets that. This comes out. And I think it's supposed to be out April or May. It's going to open up a few more doors because I'm literally in the opening scene and the closing scene. Can't really give too much away about it. But ooh, boy, I look good.
So how was the leg work with Danny Trejo? And also too, we know Mike Verna there. He mentioned the show too. Do you remember working with him too?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a wrestler too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Mike was awesome, dude. We had so much fun. You know, I mean, and if you spoke to him, dude, like, I mean, we busted our ass. I, you know, everyone involved in that film worked their asses off. And whether it was background, it was crew, lighting, you know, directors, producers, all the other actors, man, you know. And I believe this movie's going to be great when it comes out, man. And it's definitely going to change. It's going to open up a lot of doors for a lot of people, you know. Hopefully, by the grace of God, it does what it's supposed to do. You know, and people, and when people see it, hopefully they love it.
Right, so the trendsetter's been patient here, so definitely want to give the trendsetter an opportunity to ask his questions here to Sid O'Connell.
See, this is why I don't give him the microphone, because he just likes to hog it. He's just a mic hog. He likes the camera attention and stuff like that. But something that I wanted to ask you is, you talked about how, like, all this upbringing and rejection and dealing with all the, you know, not going to class for acting, but kind of being a natural actor. Do you think a lot of your pro wrestling skills of learning how to, you know, draw an audience, learn how to do promos, so that helped you in that process?
I have to tell you something funny. So while filming Bare Knuckle Brawler, you know, my character is, his name is Creel. And he's more of he was just a, like, you know, he was a street fighter. He's just a brawler. He's not a martial artist. He's just a hardcore brawler killing machine. So when we got to film, when I got to set, and we had to film this movie, no one gave me a lot of detail of the character. Just basically, he's a street brawler. He's a killer. He enjoys it in the ring.
So figure it out.
And I brought this character to life. And the funny thing is that you talk about my wrestling background, and you can ask Mike if you ever talked to him. They were like, dude, like, you wrestled before? Because the way I was moving in the ring, it all came back to me.
Yeah.
And what I brought to the character is that I brought back that old, like, late 80s, 90s style, like, just very, you know, like, oh, into the crowd and everything. And, dude, and every time we filmed a take, like, when the director yelled cut, he would run out to the ring and be like, oh my God, dude. He's like, that was awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. And it just, in 3 days of filming, and being sick as I was, I said to myself, like, I have to really give everything I have to this character. And he, every day on set, dude, he just evolved more and more and more until you get to the final day of filming. And when you guys see this movie, when it comes out, you're like, you're going to look at that character and go, oh shit, yeah, he did exactly what that was. You know, and it was, it was awesome, you know?
It's funny how the two spheres work together in anything. I always compare wrestling to everything that Jeff and I talk about with any guests we've had on the show, because either you've watched it at a young age, or at that point you compare it to other things, because you see these larger-than-life characters when you're an actor, whether you're portraying a character, listen, you're going to kick ass, like you just said, for, or it's going to be a very emotional role. I want you to take something from your experience, from your childhood, or something very traumatic, and put that on camera.
Yeah.
You kind of learn those basics and that foundation from professional wrestling.
I've been watching wrestling since I'm fucking 5 years old, dude. You know, AWA, NWA, you know, just all the way to WWF to WWE.
Who's your guy back then?
Well, I was always a Hogan fan, dude. And the British Bulldogs are probably my favorite tag team. Yeah. But it's the same thing like you said, you know, when it comes to bringing emotion out on film, or no matter, or what it is you're doing, portraying, you have to find that place to pull it from. So if you have to portray some type of pain, you know, we all deal with it. We all have been there. You know, I've been there more times than I needed to. And it sucks to pull it from there, but if that's what you have to do, then that's what you have to do. And it shows, you know, when you have that raw emotion and it comes out, and you can deliver a great performance no matter what it is you're doing. Yeah, then, you know, you did a good job. And then once the camera's cut, man, it's, you know. I mean, I know a lot of people who are method actors. And, you know, they continue to carry on in that same character. That's their way. That's cool. For me, dude, once it's, like, cut, I'm like, all right, I'm back to me. And then when the camera's on, you know, action, I'm right back to where I was before. And that's just one of the things that kind of changes from a lot of other people. It's very easy for me to go in and out. You know, I don't have to stay in character for me to give you the best performance. I can go in and out. It's just something I've put in my head. I've learned to do it on my own, you know. And I have friends who, you know, I have some very close friends who, you know, we work great together. You know, we push each other. We help each other, you know. And I think that's another key thing you need, you know, as an actor or just in anything general, man, is like who you have around you, who supports you, who you support. You know, I keep my circle very small.
As well you should, because there's a lot of negativity and a lot of scrutiny no matter what it is you do, whether it be a wrestler, professional actor, anything you do.
Oh, yeah.
So is it that inner circle that kind of keeps that positivity going where you kind of ignore that noise? Because, again, when you're trying to brand and promote yourself, you know, social media is the biggest tool right now. People go out on Instagram, Twitter, they follow you, you get a lot of likes. It's kind of like the modern-day business card.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How vital is your inner circle to keep that positivity going? Because, you know, you've learned
it. It's very vital because, you know, I've had a lot of toxic people in my life. And at some point in my time in my life, I've been a toxic person. You know, it's not a good thing for anyone to have around or, you know, for you to project onto other people. But, you know, these days now, I try to look at the positive side of everything. You know, things happen, you know, you have no control over. And if you can't control it, why beat yourself in the head about it? You know, just roll with it, you know, just one day at a time, man. You know, you get to each bridge, you cross it. You know, if you're facing a wall, all right, take a step back, figure it out. Figure out what it is you need to do to get past it. But you have to stay positive. And that's just something I'm learning to do more and more every day. Also, do and you know, the funny thing is, dude, I go to therapy once a week, and I've been doing it for like 6 months, and it helps. So anyone says, "Oh, therapy's bad for you," no, therapy's good for you. You know, especially if you got a fucked up head. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's perfect, dude. But yeah, it that has helped me a lot. You know, I look at where I am with my son. You know that helps me every day. I look at what. You know, and this, man, you know, working out every day.
That's therapeutic in itself.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, just it literally, you know, it keeps me motivated, man. And without this, oh, I wouldn't even know what I'd be doing.
All right, so you mentioned working out, and you're here at Powerhouse Gym in South Hackensack, New Jersey, the house. What are you trying to do right now with your physique? You're trying to maintain it, trying to get mass, trying to lean out. What are you trying to do right now?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, when I was sick, you know, in September, you know, I met Guy Del Corso, who's a coach for, you know, MPC. And we became great friends. And we decided that, you know, we talked for a little while. And, you know, during the whole thing of me going through the cancer, I had some personal issues I was dealing with. Real, you know, just life shit. And I just needed... I need a balance, and I need to get myself back to being focused. So, you know, we talked about me competing in March, you know, doing, you know, men's physique. First time ever doing it. I've never competed before. And it kind of put me back into focus about what, you know, just having more structure. Because at that point, man, my head was still, I was all over the place. I, you know, whether I'm coming or going. And it helped me just get myself back to saying, all right, you know, I need to get to the gym every day, despite if I'm sick or not. And, you know, after your chemo, you know, I would take like 2 or 3 days off because that shit would just kill me. So then, you know, just the workouts every day, because every time he sent me a workout the night before, I'm like, oh, I can't miss my gym. Like, I have to go. So we did that. And then I went to my doctor. It was probably about a month ago. And, you know, we did the blood work and stuff, and everything's getting back to normal. But I made a decision that, you know, with everything I have going on with my acting career right now, and things are really literally starting to, you know, pick up, that competing really isn't for me. And it really, I mean, it was like on my bucket list. I've always wanted to do it, but it's not something that I want to put myself through. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know... Dieting is one thing, but you know the amount of shit you physically, mentally, you're gonna push yourself. It's not for me. So what I want to do is that I really just want to focus on my acting career. So as for me staying in shape right now, I'm just trying to just maintain, you know, a good physique. Because when you get on camera, I want to look good. You know, if the director said, "Hey Sid, you know, you want to do this scene without a shirt on?" No problem. You know?
Don't have to ask me twice.
Yeah, you know,
it's already off.
It's already off. That's it. Yeah, so basically that's what I'm just trying to maintain. You know, I'm probably sitting at, I think, like 258. And I'm leaning out a little more. But it looks better on camera. Like, I remember when I first started, you know, I was like 290 pounds. No one's going to take you that serious when you're that big on camera. You know, oh, you're too big. Yeah. You need to put you in the back. But if you have a decent physique and you can act and, you know, you look more of an athlete, I think you'll go a lot farther. You know, I don't want to be, I'm not trying to, regardless, I look big on camera. You know, it's, I just don't want to be that big anymore, or that big guy. I'd rather be in great shape and be healthy. Yeah, that's it.
What's your message to somebody, for example, like, who's kind of discouraged and kind of maybe wants to seek out, like, some place, like, to get positive energy? Like, would the gym be one of those places that you would recommend? Hey, go here, commit to it, and you'll definitely see changes. Well, just someone that's, like, maybe, you know, needs that kind of motivation. You think the gym is a great place to...
Yes. But you have to want to do it. You know, this is basically really a lifestyle. Whether you're a competitor, whether you're doing it for your acting or a model or, you know, whatever it is you want to, you know, if the gym, if you decide that this is going to be a part of your life, then you really have to be committed to it. And you have to want to do it. You have to want to be here. Because trust me when I tell you, man, I've had a lot of people in the past. Oh, shit, you know, I want to come work out. They want to train with you. 3 weeks in, they stop coming. Like, dude, you're like, I can't. You don't have to keep up with me. You know, you just do what you feel is best for you. But they, you know, people quit, and that's their decision. That's their path. You know, you'd rather sit on a couch, you eat a couple fucking Twinkies. That's your business. You know, I like Twinkies, but I'd rather come in here and bust my ass for 3 hours and then get the results. You know, feel better. You know, one thing is funny to me is that years ago, it was probably like 2009. Before that, I was always like, you know, I was always big, but I was just big and husky, you know, like always walk around like 300 pounds. And then I ended up having knee surgery, and I dropped a lot of weight. So I got lean. So I decided, like, oh, this is the way I need to, you know, I just need to have my abs back. And the funny thing is, Jaden, my son, he was probably like 9 at the time. And, you know, I coached him in baseball since he was 5 till like he was like 13. But we'd be down at the baseball field, like, you know, coaching, you know, teaching the kids. And, you know, I'd be out there in the summertime with no shirt on. And he would always say to me, he's like, dude, really? He's like, can you put a shirt on? I'm like, oh, daddy got abs now. Boy, I said, gotta show him. So, you know, even to this day, he always cracks with me about it. But I always say to him, I'm like, dude, I mean, how many of your friends' dads?
He's a dilf. There you go.
Looks like he's like none of them.
You're in the MILFs, right? So yeah, he's a dilf. He's a dilf.
Yeah. But it's just funny. That's the way I, you know, that's just something we always crack up about. I'm like, dude, how many of your friends look like this? You know, he's like none of them. Well, there you go. So when I walk around with no shirt on.
Because daddy earned it, that's why.
Busting my ass.
Now you mentioned Jaden, he's your son, and obviously you probably enjoy the way he's talking about him. He just goes, is he the same, is he the opposite of you, or is he the same as you? Does he want to get into what you're doing, or is he like the opposite?
Jaden, he's a lot like me. I mean, listen, kid's 17. He's literally my height. You know, we're 6'5". He's a big kid, and he's always been an athlete. He loves his sports. He does great in school. And he's probably just the most sweetest and you know, genuine person, you know, in my life, man. And he's my pride and joy. And he's a blessing every day. But, yeah, I believe, you know, when he gets, like, he's starting to work out now with, like, at the high school, you know, because of football and baseball. I don't think he quite, like, I brought him here one day with me. And, I was like, come on, we're going to work out together. He's like, ugh. You know, and I was like, I think we were doing pull-ups or something. I was doing pull-ups, and he was like, oh, how many can you do? And I was like, I don't know. I could probably do like 20, 30 at a time. He goes, all right, you do 30 at a time, and I'll give you 5. All right, so I do the 30. He jumps up there, and he couldn't give me one. He, like, got halfway up. I'm like, man, you better start working on those. But, you know, I think in time, you know, he'll, you know, because listen, like I said, I didn't start working out until I was 25. I had no interest in it whatsoever. But I think, you know, everyone has to find their own path. And he's doing his own thing. And if he really loves, you know, to work out, he'll figure it out. You know, he'll come with me. He'll say to me one day and say, oh, I want to go work out with you. I mean, I've asked him numerous times to come with me. His reaction is, no, you work out like an animal. Again, yeah, but Doesn't mean that you have to. You know, we'll teach you, I'll teach you the right way of doing things. But, you know, I leave it up to him. But, yeah, he's a lot like me. You know, we have the same personality. You know, we're just, you know, we got big hearts, man. We're emotional people, too. But, that, you know, I love him. That's my boy.
You bring up a great point about, you know, we all have to create our own path at one point, too. So, you know, obviously we're in the second month now of 2018, so it's kind of still a brand new year. People are, I guess, still trying to get over their New Year's resolutions, yeah, and never make it. Yeah. I don't personally make any anymore. Oh, but again, I do make personal goals, that things that I do want to accomplish in the new year. What are you looking forward towards now? I mean, we've spoken previously off camera about certain things that you're looking forward to. What personal goals do you hope to achieve in 2018?
Just personal growth. You know, I want to be a... You know, we all make mistakes in our life, and you know, I've made a lot. Listen, I'm 47 years old. I'm not a fucking kid. You know, I've done.
He doesn't look it though.
No, I've made a lot. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, we've all made mistakes. You know, this year, I just wanted to come in. I wanted to start this year off right on a positive note. You know, learn to put whatever pain I've carried with me through my childhood, you know, through all my life, you know, just put everything behind me and move forward. So really my big goal is just really, you know, personal growth, man, moving forward with my life, you know, being more positive, and just, you know, being a good person, being a good father, you know, and really moving forward with my acting career. And like I said before, I you know, this year started off with a really great boom for me. You know, I mean, you know, the week into January, you know, I find out I have a show on Amazon Prime. You know, a week after that, I find out, you know, I have a short film on Amazon Prime. And dude, that's a huge platform for anyone. You know, it's just like it's as much as being on Netflix. And it was a great way for me to go, oh shit, it's starting to pull through. And then I look at, you know, just, you know, some things that are like, you know, the movie Bare Knuckle Brawl is going to come out in, you know, April or May. I just got doing a couple other short films. And I have something really big I really can't say, but, you know, this year I'm going to be working on it.
But he'll be back to talk about it.
I'll be back to talk about it. But I have something huge that's going to be coming up soon. And you know, it's just the possibilities are endless, man. And, you know, when you start thinking more positive and you allow the universe to open up to you, you know, and what you want, you know, things happen. Good things happen. And you just have to be patient. And that's one thing I've had to learn over the years, too, is that I'm very impatient, man. I suffer from anxiety and, you know, I suffer from, you know, some depression as well. But, you know, through therapy and, you know, just working on myself, man, I've learned to put all that bullshit aside. So I just, you know, like I said, man, just moving forward. Every day I get up, you know, I pray. I go to bed every night, I pray. I have really good people, you know, in my corner who support me and want me to succeed in whatever it is I do. And I cherish those people, you know, those are valuable people in my life. And, you know, I'm just moving forward. I'm not going to look back anymore. I'm not going to dwell on what happened or what could have happened. Just work on what we want to happen. And that's what I'm going to do.
And one final one for me is, health-wise, how are you doing, though, now? How's everything going on?
I feel awesome right now. Yeah, I feel great, dude. Man, my energy level's up. My strength is back to normal. And, dude, I'm in a good place. You know, mentally, physically, man, I'm a happy dude. You know,
I mean, you say it's more important, the mental factor, and the physical comes along with it.
Oh yeah, dude. Well, listen, here's the thing: if mentally you're not strong, you're not going to be strong physically, because our minds are our worst enemy. You know, once you put that bad shit in your head, you know, those negative thoughts, what happens? You sink into a hole, and you can't pull yourself out of it. But if you wake up every day and you say, "Oh, the sun just came out. Oh, that's great." You know, you hear bird chirping. You don't see a fucking flower growing. Whatever. Whatever puts a smile on your face. So, you know, if something puts a smile on your face, try to put a smile on somebody else's face. Because you never know. And is you know, as old as that thing is, you know, you never know what people are going through. So try to be, you know, just try to be nice to everybody. I know it's hard. Can't be nice to everybody. But I try to, you know.
See, Trendsetter, you got to be nice to me. See what he's telling you? Yeah, you got to treat me nice. You can't, you know.
He wasn't specific in what he mentioned when he said nice, but, you know, I'll try since it's 2018. Sid, we thank you so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. You're going to go in there, and you're gonna tear it up back there, too.
I said nothing like a podcast to start your day before you go to work out. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it should be part of a routine.
I actually really enjoyed this, man. I got to say, thank you very much, guys.
No problem, man. Yeah, appreciate it. And before we let you go, where can we find you on social media? Definitely got to plug yourself.
Oh, Instagram, man. BigSid65. And I'm on Twitter also. It's same name, BigSid65. Facebook, I shut it down because, Facebook sucks. It's full of shit. Instagram, dude. I mean, that's
not very positive about Facebook. Come on, where's the positivity?
You can't be positive about Facebook. Facebook is so over. It's just drawn out with so much garbage, dude.
So many political posts.
Yeah.
And so many, like, just stupid stuff now that, like, you're better off just going to Instagram.
Well, Instagram can be a good thing or it could be a bad thing for you. But I believe if you make it work for yourself and what you really want to put out there, and that's something I've learned over the last month or so, is that try to be a little more positive. I put more of just about me out there. You don't have to give too much personal information away, but if you're trying to, this is real quick before we go, and this is one thing that I'm very adamant about. My story, we just dove into a little bit here. I've dealt with a lot of ups and downs throughout my life. And one thing about me being an actor, when you get to a certain level in your career and you move forward, you're on a bigger platform to kind of get your message out. And maybe as I'm growing and I get to a certain level, my whole thing is that I really would love to just help other people. Because if you were to know what I've been through and you can hear my story and go, wow, dude, if he did that, oh, he went through that and he pulled himself out and he continued to keep moving forward, that inspires others to do the same. And that's all really what I would love to do. So if me being an actor and being a successful actor helps me get my message out more to more people, then that's what I want to do. It's not about the fucking fame. It's not about the money. That shit will come and go. I would love to be a constant working actor. And it's something that I know in my heart is going to happen. And it'll just help me, get my message out there more for other people. Because really, man, I put on social media, it's probably a couple weeks ago, I put just a message about why I'm not competing and, what I'm really focusing on now, just my acting and staying healthy and taking care of Jaden. Dude, it really reached a lot of people. It touched a lot of hearts, dude. I mean, like, I can't even tell you, like, there was probably maybe 100 and something comments on that post. I've received nothing, and I still receive DMs to this day, just how inspiring that was and how hard it must have been just to put that out there. So if I can do it on that little thing, just something so small as of right now, and imagine when you get to a certain level and you're able to do more. Oh. And that's just what I want to do.
I've seen on Instagram you've shared like your tough times and then you share your positive times. Yeah. So definitely you can see motivational speaker in this guy's resume eventually down the road one day. I mean, obviously. I mean, I'm ready to, like, kill it today when we work out today trying to set it.
But it's also the platform you're on, and the platform you're on, you do reach people. People do follow you. People follow you on Instagram and social media. Follow your story. Follow your journey to it as well. So they kind of feel like they're there with you on that journey.
And I love that, man. I think it's great that I have a lot of people who follow me and support me and there are people who will follow me since I started, acting, and they're just, a lot of people write to me, go, man, I've been following you for like 5-6 years, and just like where you've gone and where you're going is amazing. And that means a lot to me. People write me all the time saying, thank you for encouraging me to, I've been going through hard times and I'm dealing with this, and thank you for your post. Your post really touched my heart. And you know, that means the world to me, dude. I mean, if you can just touch one, like I say, if you could put a smile on one person's face a day, or you could touch someone's heart, and they can be uplifting for themselves and then for the next person, then you're doing a good thing. You know, I'm not a boaster, man. I'm not, you know, when you guys met me, you know, I didn't say, oh, you know who I am? Yeah, I'm not that. I'm a humble person.
Jeff was a little intimidated meeting you. I was like, what's the worst he could do? Rip her head off?
I pushed him the way you talked to him. He's you know.
Yeah, just I'm just a regular guy trying to pursue something and make a better life for me and my kid, and encourage and inspire others to follow their dreams, no matter what it is you're doing, no matter what it is you want to do, chase it, dude. You know. I started acting at fucking 41 years old.
It's never too late.
It's never too late to really set out and accomplish something or chase something that you really want. Go for it. Don't sit on your ass, man. Do it. You know, if you feel you can't do something, then figure out what else you want to do, and just you know throw caution to the wind sometimes, man. Take a leap of faith. You never know. Never want to live with regret.
No, never. And, you know, we don't regret one second that I came up and spoke to you, even though Jeff was sending me to the wolves, basically, because we didn't know what to expect speaking to you, Sid. But
yeah. You know what Tim Tebow once said? He goes, pain is temporary, regret is forever.
Yeah, and I'm not going to regret shit no more.
Exactly, man.
We don't regret this, guys. We like to wish you luck, but luck is for losers, I feel. You know, wish you nothing but success in 2018. We know it's got bright futures for you, and we can't wait to see it and to be a part of it to an extent,
guys,
though. We appreciate
so much,
it.
Man.
You got it too sweet, it. You got it too sweet, it.
Too sweet, man.
Part of their Jersey Wrecking Crew right now.
High Spot Podcast, YouTube.
All right, that was Big Sid O'Connell, and he joined us, man. I'm telling you, man, this guy has the it factor. He's able to talk. We were able to talk at the gym where we all work out, where we met.
Well, you two were able to talk. You know, thank you
for the first
25
minutes.
Yeah.
Then you hopped in and stuff like that. I'm not good with the microphone, dude. I'm not good with the microphone. I didn't know when to share.
Just admit, you're selfish. You don't know when to share. You don't know when to share. You don't know how to share that spotlight, Jeff.
Now, this may be the last High Spot Podcast the way we're going here today. But, no, thanks so much to Sid. Again, he's, you know, great, great guy, really doing big things. That's why they call him Big Sid. But, no, really, you know, with all the
Let me slap you there for a second, Jeff. The exciting thing about talking with Sid is here's another guy, too. Typical to all the other guests we've had on the show, where it's somebody who's chasing what they love and chasing something they're passionate about. And, you know, he started in wrestling, and then due to injury, he couldn't really do it anymore. And so he tried to find another outlet. And it's just great because us getting to know him like we've had prior to the interview, seeing what, like you said before, what a nice guy he is, how true heart he is. It's easy to root for somebody like that. And so many people can relate to him on his Instagram and say they followed in the journey that he's followed in. And where I'm just lucky that you and I are now part of that journey in some small capacity to see him be successful. And there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be successful.
Yeah, man. He was able to tell a story with us. And hopefully it's not the last time we get him on. He's very positive. He's been through a lot. And it's great to see somebody like him succeed and starts to succeed. Has bigger and better things, of course, next year, which hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to real soon with him. But man, Sid O'Connell,
I'm more excited than he is about this stuff.
Man, Sid O'Connell is really a hardworking guy. You can see him at, you know, at the gym every time we go. He's killing it, and on his Instagram. So really, Sid, thank you so much for coming on the High Spot Podcast.
He won't be a stranger, guys. We'll have him on again.
Definitely not a stranger. So that was your interview. But a couple loose ends before we go here on the High Spot Podcast. It was a very lengthy interview with Sid, so we're going to wrap it up here. Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards signed for Impact vs. Lucha Underground on April 6th in New Orleans for WrestleCon weekend in an I Quit match. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but of course everyone's seen the video now. Sami Callihan kind of took the bat, and let's not sugarcoat this. I mean, the bat ricocheted off the chair and it hit Eddie Edwards in the eye, causing just like a horrible, like, just leaving him with a black eye and a broken eye socket. And, you know, luckily he didn't lose vision in the eye, but
he shattered his orbital bone.
And, you know, let's be honest, it could have been a lot worse. And of course, you know, the real story is Sami Callihan felt bad, very remorseful, but, you know, he's getting the backlash from the Jim Cornettes and all the traditionalists saying this was not needed. He was, you know, it made no sense to do it. But, hey, listen, it's working because He's hitting the podcast. He's on Talking to Jericho. He's on Busted Open. He's using this as a platform to, you know, get this match over. Everyone wants to see this. And you know what? Impact Wrestling, their ratings have actually gone up because everyone knew that this was going to happen on the last week's show. They saw it. And now we have a matchup, you know, Lucha Underground versus Impact Wrestling on April the 6th. It's going to be interesting to see, man. I'm looking forward to it. Just your thoughts real quick on the whole Bass situation, the accident. Was it necessary to do? Just your whole reaction, because right now, Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards and Impact Wrestling, they're capitalizing on it.
Well, that's the match everybody wants to see, Jeff. And like you mentioned prior when we talked about Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, all that stuff, is that feeling that anything can happen. Now, granted, you didn't want something like this. I'm sure Sami didn't want something like this to escalate the way it did with Eddie Edwards getting injured. But like you said, any publicity is good. And when it has that factor of, wow, that wasn't supposed to happen, it's exciting, despite the fact somebody got injured and hurt and could have lost an eye or could have gotten worse. So you're right. Sami is using it to his advantage. He's getting his name out there. Everybody's talking about him. So why wouldn't you use it to your advantage? And why wouldn't you use it to build up a match like this, which is going to benefit not only him, but also Eddie? Is going to benefit Lucha and Impact as well, because they're both going to piggyback off all this momentum that everybody wants to see, especially around the time so much close to WrestleMania week, and where now everybody, WrestleMania season, everybody wants to see professional wrestling. So it's exciting. Did it have to happen? Hindsight's 20/20, Jeff. I'm sure if it worked out the way he wanted it to work out, then we wouldn't be talking about it right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. So. They took a bad situation and they capitalized on it, and I'm sure that both guys are remorseful.
Did Chris Jericho want to punch Shawn Michaels' wife in the face? No. You saw that bruised lip, and it helped out further.
And that realism made people, you know, watch. And I told you, like we were talking about beforehand, you know, realism is very key. And as you head through WrestleMania
weekend, to a certain point, you don't want to physically hurt yourself so much. But again, you're right. You make the best of a bad situation.
You make lemonade out of lemons, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, so rounding out the class of 2018 for the WWE Hall of Fame is Hillbilly Jim. Don't go messing with a country boy. No,
even now, Hillbilly Jim is, it's, well, I can't sing right now because I'm semi-congested, Jeff. I'm joining you in spirit, okay? Or maybe I just don't want to embarrass myself like you. But you're right. I mean, Hillbilly Jim, you don't want to mess with a country boy. This guy, even at this stage in his life, is still somebody who's gigantic. He reminds me of Paul Bunyan, which, you know, was kind of what they were doing during that time in the 80s and early 90s with his character. And I'm happy for him. Most people are kind of like scratching their heads like, does it really belong into the W Hall of Fame?
Come on, get
it's
over
the same
it.
People.
I mean,
that
it's like you're complaining about the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. Oh, this guy's numbers. And come on, it's the W Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
like,
it comes to the point where it's just, you know, who else are you going to put in there? You know, if it's not these high echelon guys, I'm not saying Hillbilly wasn't that. But at the same time, some people deserve it. He's put in his time. He's contributed to the business at a stage where, you know, it was all about the gigantic superhero type of people.
Larger than life.
Larger than life, and he fits the bill. So I'm happy for Hillbilly. And plus, look at that smile. He's like, how could you not love Hillbilly Jim? Seriously.
You're really going to be mad at the Hillbilly Jim. It's just nuts. And then Kid Rock is
well,
the final member
story.
In Celebrity
Wing.
About
that.
Why? Why? I don't
know. No, just people don't like Kid Rock in general.
Oh,
his
God,
music and stuff like that.
Oh,
I'm talking about, that's all right, you can debate that if you
how
want.
How bitter do you have to be in your freaking life?
It's
to
Celebrity
like,
Wing, though. So it's like
Celebrity Wing. It's a musician. Snoop Dogg was in the last year. Yeah. So, like, well, like, what's the big deal?
Well, a lot of people, you could say, fairly, I could say, Jeff, a lot of people like Snoop Dogg more than like
well,
Kid Rock.
They don't like Kid Rock because he's a Republican. Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Okay.
And the liberals out there, they're like, oh, Kid Rock, whatever, this and that. But his music is fine. And let's make a fact here that he has probably two of the best video packages in WWE history with the Desire one that he had back in, I think it was like 2001 or so, right before the NWO, Vince McMahon brought back the NWO. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the WrestleMania one for WrestleMania 30, we had that video package at the Hall of Fame, and you had like 30 years of WrestleMania in like 2 minutes. So, yeah. I mean,
but the main point, too, he's contributed not only in those packages that you talked about before, but, you know, the music for certain pay-per-views that were done that time. And he's contributed with theme songs like the Undertaker's theme song. We came back from a little hiatus, and it was the American Badass. So he's contributed to the business. He's contributed, more importantly, to WWE. So that's why he's in the Celebrity Wing. Guys, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. I mean,
like
honestly.
He's at 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, 20 years. I mean, ugh, amazing.
Can really nitpick here, guys? It's a Celebrity Wing. He's a celebrity.
And
why does Drew Carey belong in the Hall of Fame? Come on.
And then finally, CM Punk on Twitter kind of
– who?
Phil Brooks.
Okay.
He kind of said that he would be returning to the Octagon on June the 9th in his hometown of Chicago. So that's pretty much confirmed. And let's not forget that All In is September the 1st, 2018 in Chicago. I still have a feeling that somehow that CM Punk will be on that show. So
Jeff's got a feeling. So I'm singing now.
I got a feeling CM Punk is going to be All In.
Exactly. It's a little stupid.
How about free agency with my Jets? Do you like what they did?
What did they do? That's the point. They didn't do anything. I mean, well, they got Teddy Bridgewater. I get that. But then, you know, when you do that, why sign Josh McCown? Now there's going to be competition for the starting spot. I still think the answer to the Jets, not that it's going to be an answer, but they really need to look at a quarterback, I feel,
in the draft
right now. Because Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown are not your future. Giants did a couple good moves, got an offensive tackle, need to protect Eli Manning's currently, who's the quarterback of the Giants, his blind side, because Eric Flowers was not doing anything. And, you know, they work on their defense. They're obviously helping out their defense. It looks like going to be the focal point. But again, you have to fix the offensive line. You have weapons if Odell Beckham gets an extension, doesn't sit out the season. But again, it's still early on. We still have the draft to look forward to. So certain moves have been made in the NFL. The Cleveland Browns are making moves like, oh my goodness.
And Adam Payne, baby. By the way, Kirk Cousins is a Minnesota Vikings. Sorry about that. You got Case Keenum.
You got a Minnesota guy, but it's not Kirk Cousins.
No, sorry about that, Adam Payne. And of course, he made the bold prediction on our YouTube channel that Kirk Cousins was going to be a Denver Bronco because, of course, why would you want to play for John Elway? Of course, that's not the case. So, Case Keenum, enjoy that. Adam Payne.
Have you messaged him at all?
No, I'm not. It's been busy, and he's had a real hectic schedule. So we'll see Adam Payne. I'm glad you segued to that because the next time you'll see the Jersey Wrecking Crew will be this Saturday, St. Paddy's Day, for Pro Wrestling Magic. I love it loud. It's going to be EC Negro versus Tommy Dreamer. It's the Innovator of Violence against El Rey All Day, the King of New York. And you'll also see our buddy Fala Ba take on Sean Donovan. Don't call me Shane. Of course, he hosts a Genuine Taste of Wrestling. And make sure to catch us on blogtalkradio.com/HighSpotPodcast. We're available on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is the brainchild of Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman. They've got their flagship show, Between the Ropes, every Wednesday. You also catch Cosmetic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stick to the Gimmick.
And Jeff, they can also follow us on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Networks as well, with such content as Destruction 101 podcast, A Drink with Gino. We just mentioned A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with Sean, Don't Call Me Shane Donovan, and The Outsiders podcast with Mark Adam Haggerty.
Of course, looking forward to seeing Mark this Saturday. But want to thank everyone again, too, at last weekend's. We went to Warriors of Wrestling. We met Brandi Rhodes, James Ellsworth, Rachel Ellering, Tessa Blanchard. Really great time over there. So we want to thank everyone there. Of course, also Kevin Nasta from D365 Promotions. Had a great talk on, off camera with Molly Holly too. So that was a great talk. Getting her feedback on where she's at wrestling too. So it's just a great week.
I can't wait to have her on the show too.
Looking forward to that too in the future. But we are on the road to WrestleMania. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendster. You can follow us on Twitter, High Spot Podcast. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/HighSpotPodcast. Also, catch us on the brand new website, HighSpotPodcast.com.
And for that being said, guys, we thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next week because, Jeff, what do we do this for? We do this for all you, the crew.
Can you hear me, Lewis? You're fourth on the grid. You've got this.
Put yourself in the driving seat with the dedicated Sky Sports F1 channel for £18 a month. Watch every practice, qualifying and race live. Now with free HD. So if you love F1, only pay for F1 for £18 a month. Search Sky Sports F1.
Requires Sky TV subscription. Free HD for 18 months with Sky Sports. Thereafter, HD £6 per month. Offer ends 28th of June. Further terms apply.